If you'd like to take out your Bibles again, we're going to keep going with some scriptures. All right. So, if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 25, if you're from Armidale, Coburn, you may have heard some thoughts like this before, so I apologize. This talk is going to be called The Intelligent Investor, Spiritual Edition, okay? And we all know what investing is. We all heard about the stock market and the concept that if you put money into something or some sort of wealth or some sort of time, you get a return. You're supposed to gain from it. And we all know that, you know, the stock exchange in America is where all the big money deals happen, and that's what everyone's chasing, you know. Old people, especially all the old Croatians I know, they all say, you know, work hard, buy a house quickly, pay it off, get someone to rent it out, get the money, get the interest of it, and then, you know, buy another one and keep buying, you know, and it's supposed to be some sort of personal gain. But the definition of investing is to commit something in the hope of gaining a return or an increase. And Dad sent me a lecture the other day on some sort of finance thing. I know, it's boring, that's what we do, we're nerds like that. And he was talking about, he pretty much said, like, to be a successful investor, and pretty much to succeed in anything, it's never about how intelligent you are or how much, how quick you can think initially growing up. It's all about how much work and effort you put in. And a lot of the time, if you are smart in the beginning, it can be a detriment to your success later on, because you think you know everything, you think you're smarter than the game, and you can end up failing. So it's always important in these situations, and we can take this in any sort of situation, to put the work and the effort in. And it says that right in the definition, to commit something in the hope of gaining something. Anything we put time in for personal benefit. And it's all about the effort and energy. That's how people get these success rates in these companies. The world and the stock exchange, it's always changing. It's always moving forward, and it's unpredictable. So as long as people constantly investigate and invest their time into that, they'll get a return. And it's a pretty simple concept. You know, if you invest time into your garden on a Saturday, you know, the six Saturdays in a row, you will hopefully get a nice garden, you'd think. Or invest time into your car, your money, your family, hopefully you look for a return in that. And so you can probably see where I'm going with this. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. I got to turn there myself. And we see here, and it's a very famous parable with a good message. Verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is shine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he that have abundance, but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And it's very powerful words there. But we get the we understand how it works. This Lord here, he has these servants, and he gives each one of them talents according to their ability, okay? And they go out, and they're supposed to trade and invest. And the first two come back with a 100% investment, and the last one is scared, and he puts it in the earth and does nothing, okay? And the point here is that, you know, he doesn't rank whether the first or second one is better or not. The only thing he cares about is the fact that the last servant didn't put the time or the effort in for this investment. He was scared, it says, you know, and that's what it's all about. And that's the same, exactly the same thing with us, you know, like we all have different abilities, different talents in the Lord. Okay. We've all come from different backgrounds, different education and different things like that. We all have different jobs, right? The Lord doesn't mind what abilities we have. All he cares is about where we invest our time. Do we want to invest our time in the Lord, or are we scared? Because we've all been given an amazing, amazing promise, amazing miracle. You think about all the people here. You know, what is it, 50, 60, 100, whatever, you know. Think about all the people in the world right now who have not heard the gospel, or who haven't grown up with the gospel. It's such an amazing thing. The Lord's saying here, it doesn't matter what abilities you have, it matters what time you put in. Just like I was saying before, you know, it doesn't matter how smart you are, as long as you put the time and effort into the investment. And it's just like what this Lord's saying here. He doesn't mind what sort of abilities we have. He wants us to put the time and the effort in, invest our time into the Lord. And that's how you get a return, okay? We've been given an amazing promise. If we put it in the ground, okay, we're not going to get anything. It's going to be angry. And we know that scripture that says, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a bad tree bringeth forth bad fruit, you know? And so if you're not producing any sort of fruit, you know what they do to a tree that produces no fruit? Snip it off. Get rid of it, because it can ruin the rest of the tree, okay? So that's really important to, so it's like the Lord has given us this share in this amazing company. You know, it's this guy in the alleyway going, hey, I've got this share in the stock market, and if you invest in it and constantly put a bit of money in, it'll just go up and up and up forever. And you think, well, who would be crazy not to invest in that, you know? Would you rather invest in that you know is going to be 100%, 100% returns, an amazing blessing? Or would you rather invest in the things in the world where you don't know what's going to happen? You might end up, you know, having a nice job and a nice family, nice car, but we all know it ends eventually. You don't know what's going to happen. But with the Lord, as it says here, you invest, you'll get a return. So put that, the first thing, all the Lord cares about is us putting time and effort into him. And so when he talks about time, obviously we're definitely talking about praying, we're talking about giving our time for the Lord. But it says in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's an awesome scripture talking about, you know, we can get down on our knees and have a prayer to the Lord. We don't even know sometimes what we're praying about, but the Spirit knows and the Lord knows. You know, so once again, as long as we put the time in and the effort, the Lord's going to bless us, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, another classic scripture. Matthew chapter 6, and it says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's an awesome, awesome scripture, you know, and there's lots of different sort of thoughts and investigations as to what these treasures are, and there's lots of different thoughts anyway, but the premise here is that the last scriptures, yeah, for your where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, okay? So if we invest our time into the Lord, treasures in heaven, we know that it says at the start, where moth and rust won't corrupt, it's eternal. It's forever. We know we're searching for or we're sort of trying to get ourselves to be here long enough so that when the Lord comes back or until we die, whichever comes first, that's the most important thing, that blessing at the end when the Lord comes back. And once again, it doesn't end. The Lord has been here from the start. He's going to be here at the end. And we want to be like that as well. We want those blessings, what the Lord has. But the things on this earth, you know, our cars, our sports, our jobs, our investments or whatever, they're all going to end. So it's up to us to invest where we want, where we think is going to be better. In the Lord, where he's going to give us blessings all the time, where he's going to give us an amazing peace in our life, where he's going to give us eternal life at the end, which is an amazing thing, or in the world where we don't know what's going to happen. And we know that, like it says here, people, things will eventually get corrupted. And like it says at the end, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if we do invest our time in the Lord, we come to meetings, we pray a lot, we read, we preach the gospel, we get in amongst the Lord's work, our heart will be there as well, you know, and we'll feel the peace of God in us, which is an amazing thing. And all the people said, all right, let's go to, where is it? Genesis 19 is an interesting one. All right, where should we read? Verse 15, when the morning arose, when the angels hastened, Lot saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid up hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And just, I'll just skip down just for time's sake. Verse 26, it says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. So the story here, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot and his wife were saved by the angels. They were brought out and Lord had mercy on them and destroyed the city because it was so, so, so corrupt. But what happened in the end was his wife decided to look back and became a pillar of salt. Okay. And it's a really interesting, sort of concept here, you know, and you see a lot of that in the Old Testament. You see the Lord punishing people in quite extreme ways. I don't think it happens as much anymore. We don't know. It's up to the Lord. But the question I want to know here is, you know, with Lot's wife, she left her life up to chance. She looked back, you know, the Lord had saved her from that old life, you know. Sodom and Gomorrah was a place which was going to be destroyed. It was a place where there was nothing else for them. And she decided to look back. And just before they left the town, they had one instruction, don't look back. And for some reason, she decided to look back. She decided to think back on, you know, her old life. And she was punished for it, you know. And the question is for us, you know, we are all now saved. We're all saved from the city of Gomorrah right now. We are all running away. We're all running away to safety, okay? And it's up to us whether we want to look back at that life. It's up to us whether we want to gamble with our life. Because every time we look back to the world, we look back to the things that we knew before the Lord knew us, there's a chance that it could grab us and pull us back in. There's a chance that we could lose our salvation over it, you know? And so in finance or in investing, it's a very fine line you'll find between intelligent investment and gambling. And more often than not, they say it is a statistic, you know, over 90% of people who invest in stocks, regular people, lose their money. They lose their money because they don't know how to do it. They might think, oh yeah, this looks good, this looks good, this looks good, and they just invest and it goes away and it becomes a gamble, okay? And so us as Christians, we know what the right way is, and that's the Lord's way. And all the people said, that's a way we know is going to help us. We know it's not going to let us fall. And we know leads to life in the end, eternal life. But if we gamble with our life in the world, what does it lead us? We don't know. We don't know. It could go anywhere. But it's not an intelligent investment. So the encouragement there is to not look back, okay? Not look back on our life. Don't gamble with our life. Yes. So let's go to Galatians chapter 6. And it says in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not a man for whatsoever. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that last scripture I want to focus on. You know, sometimes in the investment world, you have to wait for the long run to see any sort of investment, to see any sort of gain. Sometimes you invest your money and it seems like it's bad. You seem like, oh no, I'm scared. And you sort of pull your money, or I'm scared, I've got to put more money in. And you don't know what's happening. Or sometimes, and this guy in this lecture said as well, you know, there's no one that's ever made a trade and not lost. So you've got to learn by losing. And so in the Lord, okay, sometimes it may seem like what we're investing is not coming to pass. With, you know, we're praying to the Lord, we're putting our time and effort into Him, and sometimes nothing's happening. Okay? It seems like, you know, it's just the same sort of thing, or maybe that God can't hear us. But the scripture says clearly, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Okay? So the first part of the scripture says, we put in the effort, the Lord's going to bless us. But don't be weary if you don't see anything happening straight away. Keep going, and the Lord will show Himself in the end. He will bless you, okay? Keep sowing, and you will reap, and you will reap the blessings. And so it's an awesome bit of encouragement there. You know, this year has been quite a tough year, and so obviously lots of people may be struggling in different ways, and everyone's saying, oh, you know, it's crazy, the pandemic, it's the worst time of my life. But, you know, I didn't feel too different. I felt like, oh, it's actually all right. You know, you've still got the fellowship, still got the saints, still got the Lord. The Lord doesn't leave us. And so it was fine. It says in Proverbs verse 30, it says, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So, and it's an interesting scripture here. And what it's saying is pretty much like the ants, obviously there's a lot less food in the winter. So what the ants do, while the times are good, while the times are, you know, while the sun's out and there's lots of food, they gather it up and store it for the tough times. And that's what we can do as well, okay? So while the times are good, while we're feeling good, invest more time, you know? Don't be weary, don't get arrogant in your walk when times are good. Invest more time when the times are good. You've got more energy, you're happier, you've got more joy, you've got more peace. Invest so that when the tough times come, okay, you're ready. You've got enough food saved up to get through the tough times, okay? And let's go to Revelation 22, just to finish up. And verse 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates, into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth maketh a lie. And just the first part of that really hits home for me. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So it really hammers home that point. The Lord's coming back soon. We don't know when, okay, but we know he's real and we all believe it. So we are hoping that when he comes back, that we want to be there. And all the people said,